The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, James shares from his heart a special message in which he challenges the church to come together.
All Catholics, all Protestants, all who claim to be evangelical, charismatic, pinnacle, doesn't matter what label somebody puts on you or you put on yourself, magnify the Lord and know Him personally. If you do, then we're family.
Are you willing to stop the division and unite for the glory of God?
I ask Betty if she would just really spend this time in prayer for me to talk to you. And she really encouraged me to share my heart with you, to somehow, with God's help, seek to let you know how vitally important you are, not only to the outreaches of life and the millions of people we touch all over the world with the testimonies of transformation that comes through the power of God in Christ, and the outreaches in support of mission endeavors, drilling water wells like we're doing now, feeding the multitudes, rescuing those who are caught and enslaved with sex trafficking, how horrible. But all the outreaches of life are dependent upon the prayers and support of people like you. But the picture is even greater than that. I feel like it's critically important that each one of you watching hear this, not from me, but from the heart of God. You are indescribably special, precious, and important to our Father. He said He has revealed Himself in all that He created. As a matter of fact, fully in Christ, we can see the Father in everything we're to know about God, clearly demonstrated in the illustration of love, compassion, wisdom, truth, peace, and hope. But it's really important for you to understand how you fit into the plan of God. You are not an afterthought. You're never to think of yourself as being overlooked or unimportant. You're more vitally important than perhaps any preacher can communicate. The Holy Spirit needs to somehow reach down and lift you up into the very arms and presence of God and let you know how valuable you are in light of eternity and His eternal and kingdom purpose. I have learned to see Him in all He created. When I see the trees casting the shade, bearing the fruit in due season, understanding the root system and how they seek water and light, I consider the birds, how diligently they work as they depend upon God and not wait even for us to care for them, but for God. And they're busy. And understand there are many lessons that we can learn, as Jesus said, when we consider them, just the birds. Not long ago, I was sitting out on a porch praying, and I looked out and saw the butterflies flying everywhere. They were so beautiful. Many different colors, many varieties. And they appeared angelic. And I admired them, and I thought only God could create the iridescent colors. What a wonderful God we have. And I got up and I leaned over a porch rail to look a little nearer so I could look at them and see the beauty that of God's creation. And somehow in that simple thing, I was praising God for His creativity and all that He does. But as I looked down at the lantana buds and the butterflies, I looked down and on one of those plants was the most ordinary the most insignificant looking little butterfly. It had no color. It didn't even look like it could fly. It wasn't floating angelically like the others. It was just working around to get the nourishment. And it was working so hard. I actually leaned over and I got as close to the little, beautiful little ordinary being as I could. And I wanted to say, hey, I wonder if anybody's ever noticed you. I do. Hey, little fella. You're so beautiful in your ordinary little design and without the angelic movement of these other butterflies. You're working so diligently to get what God has given you. And when I sat back down, I began to weep. As I realized that all over the world, and maybe sitting here watching me right now, there's so many people who feel like, that's me. Nobody notices, but God does. I'm unimportant. Jesus said there's not a sparrow that falls to the ground that the Father doesn't see. He didn't say the cardinal. He didn't say the peacock. He didn't say the bluebird. He said the most ordinary. I notice. And somehow it was as though God helped me remember that when I was a little boy playing in the dirt without a father, without a home, thinking I don't have much future, God looked down at me, a fatherless boy, and said, I choose you. I didn't overlook you. I'm not going to leave you out. I've got a great plan for you. I know the desires that I have and the hope I have for you. And little did I realize that that hope God had for me, a boy, He wanted to pour His love and His hope out on people all over the world, like so many of the children that we help. And you may see them in a feeding line, or you may see them in some desperate, emaciated condition. But God looks at them and says, you're a treasure. And I love you so much. And God, looking down at me, a boy without a future as far as it appeared to many who would be observing, God said, I've got a plan for you. And I want to use you to share my love with the people who feel forgotten and overlooked all over the world. And that's precisely what He's doing. From the bottom of my heart, I'm so grateful. God has been so good to use me to be a blessing, but it's because of you. And some of you who felt overlooked, this is the day for you to recognize you're not overlooked. You're vitally important to God and to His eternal purpose. God wants to use you to bless others. One of the things that Betty has heard me share and you've heard me share from time to time is the truth that if you want your prayers answered, seek to be an answer to someone else's prayer. I have been saying in recent months, how about we seek to be an answer to Jesus' prayer? I would like to ask you, if you would, to get up, if you possibly can, and go get a Bible. And I want you to open it to the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. And look at verse 9. I want us to start there while Jesus is praying. Just look at verse 9. He says, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but those you've given me. And it doesn't mean for one moment he didn't care about the world, but he's praying for us. He's praying for you. This is what I need you to hear. The one that so often feels overlooked. So he's praying for you, and he's praying some very specific things. Now, there are two things I want you to consider in the midst of this focus on his prayer. Number one, he's praying for us. He's praying very specifically, but I'm asking you to do something. I'm asking you to join praying and seeking to be an answer to the prayer Jesus prayed. I mean, we want our prayers answered. And I've tried to teach you, seek to be an answer to other people's prayers and watch what happens when you pray. But what if we really wanted to be an answer to his prayer? Now, let's just look at some of the points that he emphasized that were very important to him. He said, Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. Now, Jesus is saying, first of all, he wants us to be one with the Father as he is. Totally submitted, totally connected, totally yielded to the Father. Moving as the Father moves, looking where the Father looks, seeking to be the hands and arms of the Father, to speak the mind and the heart of the Father, to express it continually. But he's saying he wants you to also be one with the Father as he is, but also you're going to see with one another like a family. I mean, it's really amazing how concerned he was. I love the way he said in verse 13, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so they may have full measure of my joy within them. I want the joy that's in me, that comes from you, to be in them. And of course, that's why he sent the Holy Spirit, another of the same kind to live in us, to give us joy. He says, my prayer is, in verse 15, not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Because the evil is here. The deceiver is here. The assault against all of God's truth and life and love is continual. It's fierce. It's like an army of pestilence and beasts and consuming forces and influences and factors to distract us, to deceive us, to defeat us, and if possible, destroy us. And he says, protect them from the evil one. He's here. That's why you need to put the armor of God on, Paul taught us. Because we're fighting against the powers and principalities of darkness. But Jesus is praying for our protection. And then he says, my prayer is not for them alone, but I also am praying for those who believe in me through their message. That's us. That all of them may be one. This is the spiritual unity he's praying for. I want the family to be one. Now listen, I've become so consumed with believers becoming like a family that I refuse to allow man-made walls or barriers to become prisons or dividing points. We've got to let the love of God lift us above all walls. Now, we're not talking about the hedge of God's protection. That's an entirely different thing. But we have divided over minor differences too often. Sometimes they're major. When someone begins to deny the authority and the reliability of the Word of God, that's big, that's huge. Or the deity of Christ, or even the virgin birth of Christ, or the atoning death of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ, and the fact that he sent the Holy Spirit to live in us, to guide us to all truth, and that he's given us teachers and pastors and prophets. He sent these to build us up in the faith. We don't want to deny that. And we don't begin to move the standard of biblical morality and principles over to accommodate our frailty or our failure or our sinfulness, or our compulsiveness, or our weaknesses. We let the standard of God move us. So he's saying, but I want you to be a family. I don't want you to be continually divorcing. I've been reaching out. I'm an evangelical. I'm part of what is so often referred to as the Protestant faith. And then you've got Catholics, and I'm reaching out to Catholics. I'm reaching out to all who know Christ, who understand he's the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through him. To understand that the relationship we have in Christ, if we know Christ, not a religious identification or a sectarian point of view, but a relationship that we know this God, the Father, like Jesus does. He's God and Father. This relationship, if you know him, all Catholics, all Protestants, all who claim to be evangelical, charismatic, Pentecostal, doesn't matter what label somebody puts on you or you put on yourself, magnify the Lord and know him personally. If you do, then we're family. And we need to learn to relate together. Now listen, the only way we're going to turn this world from the prevailing darkness is to become a shining city set on a hill like a family, where we no longer allow the light of His glory to be covered. We stand together. In this 17th chapter of the prayer, Jesus is praying that we will be purified and sanctified in truth, not divided by it, not bludgeoned with it, not beat up with it, but made whole and holy. Too often we take God's word and we find a point of difference, and then we just go to war. And as so many marriages, we just divorce. God, stop it. I believe that if we will pray together and yield our lives, understanding our importance individually, to be an answer to this prayer, one with the Father, that means relationship, not church membership, not some traditional identity with a denomination or some particular religious group, Catholic or Protestant, but know Him and become one with the Father. And then as He prayed, be purified. I pray you'll read this 17th chapter. This is truly the Lord's Prayer. He gave us a model prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Taught us how to pray. But this is His prayer. And He wants us to be sanctified and purified, one with the Father, in relationship, and then in supernatural unity as a family. Herein the world will know we're His disciples. Now, what I felt like God wanted me to be sure I got through to all of you. Thank you for helping us with all the outreaches of life. We're going to ask you to help us share water. Water for life, so we can show people and introduce them to the water of life. But I wanted you to know, you are so vitally important to God as one that He wants to father and love, and as one He wants to use to bring the health and the healing and the harmony to the family of God. Sanctified in truth, purified, and then in supernatural unity to become a shining city, an example of a family of faith who know a living God. Father, I pray that every person watching all over the world, when this program is over, will get into John 17 and look at your heart and your prayer for them, and then seek diligently to be an answer to your prayer and to understand the importance of that, that we may be one, that the world will see you as you are, the great and faithful, loving Father with a wonderful plan for every one of us, in Jesus' name. If you ever need someone to pray with you, for you about something, that number is always there as a prayer line. Last Friday, 2,500 people called. 2,500. Normally from 1,500 to 2,000 a day call. That's amazing, isn't it? And then all over the world, we're reaching millions of people because many of you have said, I believe in the mission God's called us to. And we're doing it together, even here. God has so many wonderful steps for you to take. Can I ask you to do something that our viewers tell us is one of the greatest joys of their life? Would you literally help us give more than a cup of water? Would you help us give a well of water? I want you to watch closely. And then I'm asking you to reach out in love and give life.
When we were young, many of us were taught that our choices would alter our course in life. That with the right choices and due diligence, our dreams could come true. Fernando is no exception. He too has dreams for the man he hopes to become. But unfortunately, there is a good chance Fernando may never reach them. Fernando has been fighting a battle, one he should never have had to fight.
Yo me siento mal, me tengo diarrea, dolor de barriga, y no me pegan síntomas de comer. Por esta agua que es contaminada.
The water? How can something as seemingly trivial as water alter his course, threatening the life of this strong young boy? How can water steal away hopes and dreams?
Siempre tenemos que hacerlo porque no hay otra agua que tomar.
This battle is not trivial to Fernando, his family, or so many others facing waterborne diseases. Their future, no matter how defined, hangs in the balance. But together, we can easily tip the scales in Fernando's favor. It simply depends on how you respond.
And it is because we love him and he's not overlooked, and his family. I'm looking at the children at the well book. All the little children. On the back, there's all the children of the world, different races. Then there's the little mirror where you can see you. This is a touch-me, feel-good book for children to show them the importance of loving others, how important they are to God and to his purpose. And we provide this because we love your children and your grandchildren and children you know. And we long to see the love of God expressed through those children. Women at the Well, these are the women that have been on Life Today and inspired you. Our daughters, including the one that's in heaven, wrote a devotional. From Betty, from Beth Moore, from so many you love. We want to send this to you for any gift if you just help us drill water wells to be an answer to that family, that young man. So many like him, he represents. 20 countries, 500 wells. We need a miracle. We're halfway there. Father, I pray you'll, even now, give us the support for the 250 wells, so we'll have the whole 500, in Jesus' name. Would you dial the number and take your bank card and make the largest gift you can today? Any gift you make, we're sending you the books I just referenced. We'll send you the beautiful Life Journal. Matter of fact, I have one here that my notes are in that I've been using even as I'm sharing with you. Our daughter Robin was the one who first gave me a journal like this before she went to be with Jesus. She said, Dad, God told me to give that to you. I said, honey, it's a treasure. I'd just been through a real battle with staph infection. And I'd started to write what God said to me. We want to give you a journal to bless you. We're asking you, if you can, to make a gift of $144 to give water for 30 people the rest of their life. $48, 10 people. $4,800, we've got a well. We're going to send you the beautiful glass sculpture, The Blessing, to say thank you. Would you go to the phone or go to lifetoday.org and take your bank card and make the very best gift you can, please? You're important. You're part of the family. Together to put God's arms of love around the suffering, to give, yes, even more than just a cup of water. To give a well to a village, to change hundreds and hundreds of lives now and forever. Thank you for making the call. Thank you for making the gift God put on your heart. Thank you for being a part of this family of faith and outreach. Thank you so much.
Every day, children of all ages are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or face death from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. With your gift today, you can help establish and drill new water wells for those in need, impacting over 20 nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. And now, because of a miracle opportunity of a matching gift of over $326,000 for 68 new wells targeted in drought-stricken Angola, your gift can be doubled. With your gift, be sure to request the new Children at the Well interactive book to help your little ones understand the blessing of clean water, as well as the Women at the Well daily devotional with 32 refreshing devotionals for your quiet time. With your gift of $100 or more, you may also request this beautiful leather journal to help capture your personal times with God. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and you may request our commemorative sculptured glass statue, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
Well, I just want to say thanks. Say, Betty, thanks for praying for me, with me, and even now, and encouraging me to share what God just put on my heart to let every one of our viewers know how truly special you are. I pray you sense that. You know, when you're an answer to somebody's prayer, what a blessing you are when you give water, when you support outreaches, I promise you that. But let's pray we can together see Jesus' prayer answered. God bless you. Thanks for letting me share.
Next week on Life Today, after her dream career fell apart, Kelly Mentor found her place serving God in one of the most dangerous and unlikely locations on the planet. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.